This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to Sahaba Profiles. And today we continue the discussion on the life of Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha. Up to this point, we have discussed that she was the daughter of the auntie of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father's sister's daughter. She and her husband, she was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's adopted son Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu an. She married him upon the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had reluctance because they came from totally different social backgrounds. And that manifested itself later on in the marriage. They couldn't get along. They couldn't make a go of it. And Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anham issued her with a divorce. And prior to that, she had made hijrah to Abyssinia. She had made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara as well later on because of the persecution of her own family once she had accepted Islam. And from the onset, she was known as a woman of great generosity and of tremendous qualities. And I concluded the last discussion by mentioning that when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he was to marry Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very perturbed because he knew that society saw Zaid bin Haritha as his own son, even though he was an adopted son. In Makkah at the time, the adopted son was given the position of the blood son, of the true son. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to abolish this practice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worried as to, you know, the wagging of tongues. There was already enough insults and accusations and claims being made against the Muslims. But nonetheless, this was the instruction of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the proposal with her former husband, Zaid bin Haritha, his adopted son. When he came to her, at the time she was busy with the dough, her back was towards him. He gave her the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message. She didn't turn around because they were no longer husband and wife. Her back was facing him. She said that, "Tell the Prophet of Allah, I will have to make mashwara with my Allah. I will have to seek guidance from my Allah. I'm not going to give an immediate answer." And she started making dua to Allah and she started making istikhara. And this was a remarkable attribute of her. Throughout her life, this was a constant. She would always consult with Allah. Consult with Allah meaning pray to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for guidance and for the best outcome. And while she was still making dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation that the nikah had already been performed in the heavens by Allah himself. The nikah had already been performed in the heavens by Allah himself. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Zainab bint Jahash. There was no observing of any formalities that you would normally observe at the time of the nikah. And here the scholars write that there are a few key points to note. Firstly, this was an instruction that came to Allah that the wedding, the nikah took place, the nikah rather, was solemnized in the heavens. So there was no need for a guardian. There was no need for any witnesses. This marriage then abolished a barbaric custom that equated a blood relationship with an adopted one, in which the father could not marry an adopted son's ex-wife or widow. And Zainab bint Jahash now had this unique honor from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, from those who had been married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the only one whose marriage was performed in the heavens. And like this, she continued to stay with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her remarkable qualities were always there to be seen in terms of her generosity. She was known for tremendous generosity. She was very charitable, especially with her own relatives. And she had remarkable qualities. One day somebody asked Aisha radiallahu anha about Zainab bint Jahash. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, "You know, at the time when the great accusation was leveled against me, the accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha that she had had relations out of wedlock, well, iyadu billah, it was somebody approached Zainab bint Jahash and said, 'What is your opinion on the matter?' She said, 'I don't want to get involved in such filth, in such dirty talk. In such obscene speech, I don't want to soil my ears, nor do I want to soil my tongue.'" As a co-wife, there is that natural rivalry between co-wives. She could have taken advantage of the situation, but her qualities and her character did not allow her to do so. And when Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha passed away, Aisha radiallahu anha recalled an occasion when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that the first from my wives to meet me after my demise would be the one with the longest hands. The first from my wives that will pass away after I pass away will be the one with the longest hands. And that will be the wife that will meet me first in Jannah. And the Ummahatul Mu'mineen took this in the literal sense, they started measuring their hands, and Zainab bint Jahash was of short stature, and naturally, if you are short, your hands will also be short. So no one expected her to pass away first. But when she passed away, that's when the Ummahatul Mu'mineen realized that the Prophet ﷺ was referring to generosity when he said those with the longest hands, or the one with the longest hands. And she was definitely the most generous from all the Azwaj Mutahharat, from all the noble consorts of the Prophet ﷺ. There's also one more incident that the Quran also makes reference to that took place with regard Zainab bint Jahash. As I previously mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ would visit all of his wives between Asr and Maghrib. He would start with Ummu Salama because she was the eldest, and he would end with Aisha radiallahu anha because she was the youngest. And in between, when he used to go to Zainab bint Jahash to visit her, she would offer him honey. And the Prophet ﷺ was very fond of honey. And as a result, he would take a little bit of time. He would spend a little bit extra time in her house. You know, he wanted to get the full taste and enjoyment of the honey. And this is when Hafsa and Sauda and Aisha, the other three wives, they decided no. You know, the Prophet ﷺ spends too much time there, and it eats into our time. And out of love for the Prophet ﷺ, they wanted their time with the Prophet ﷺ. They devised a strategy, and they told the Prophet, you know, they made a kind of indication that the Prophet ﷺ was emitting some sort of not the most pleasant breath. And then the Prophet ﷺ thought that, hey, it must be the honey, and he stopped eating honey. And that's when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the verses, the opening verses of Surah At-Tahrim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak. You see, you and I, if we abstain from something which is permissible, it's fine. It's not compulsory to eat honey. But the Prophet ﷺ, his every action was scrutinized. And it's possible that people could start deducing wrongly that honey was not permissible for consumption. That's why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet ﷺ to continue eating the honey. Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha, in her own house, she had a small area, like we have a namaz room or something of that sort, where she would worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make her dua, supplicate to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As I said, she was the first from the Azwaj Mutahharat to pass away. She passed away in the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, at the age of 53 years. She had already prepared a kafan for herself. But she said to her people, she said to her family and friends, it's possible because I am the wife of the Prophet ﷺ that Umar might send a kafan for me. If he sends a kafan for me, bury me in one and give the other in charity. Right up till her dying moments, she was very charitable and very generous. Umar Farooq radiallahu an led the funeral prayers, and her close relatives, including her brother Abdullah bin Jahash, were present there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Sahaba profiles. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.